Well, hello, loves. Hey, we made it to Friday. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, heading into Veterans Day weekend. We will spend some time talking about that a little bit later on today, but I kind of have a buffet on the agenda today. Like yesterday, we did a whole bunch of topics, and they all worked. And again, I just want to thank you guys. I don't know what has gotten into you guys lately, but the calls to the show have been voluminous, and the quality of the calls to the show has just been excellent. And I keep on reflecting back to the day after Election Day. And ordinarily, you know, I've admitted this before on the air publicly, because of the toxicity of politics in 2023, it's honestly, I know some of you don't like to hear this, but it's one of those topics that I try to stay away from because, as I've explained before, it's almost like you're guaranteed to lose 50% of your potential audience the minute you start talking about politics. But the day after Election Day, I just keep on reflecting on that program and the civility of the calls to the program. Everybody was super cool. And again, in all fairness, in all honesty, I don't care if you are a straight across the board Republican, if you are a straight across the board Democrat. I don't even care if you are a socialist. When we do the political stuff, I just don't want anybody to feel, well, if I call in, he's going to yell at me, because I really don't do that stuff anymore. It's just, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for the heart. It's not healthy for the mind. And it's really irritating for you to listen to it. So I've tried to back off on that. And frankly, it's been a successful strategy, if I may say so myself. But it's only successful because you make it work. And I just want to let you know, I'm really grateful for that. Now, as far as what's going to happen with Brian Higgins' congressional seat, you know, everybody is assuming that it's going to be a Democrat, and it may very well end up being a Democrat, let's face it. But I'm just saying, looking at the future before somebody becomes absurdly entrenched in a job, maybe David Bellavia would be interested. And I've not talked with David about this, but maybe down the line, he might be interested in a career like that. One never knows. But again, in all honesty, David and I, we talk a lot off the air. We're always texting each other off the air like a couple of schoolgirls. Yes, I've just called a Medal of Honor recipient a schoolgirl. Yes. But no, we text each other all the time. And we're hoping on the 60th anniversary of the murder of President Kennedy to do a show together like we did on Christmas Day. That was one of the, frankly, most memorable programs that I've ever done, because it was Christmas Day. It was the blizzard of 2022, and David was on early in the morning, and David stayed on with me from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, and then I think Joe Beamer came in and gave us some relief, but it was an extremely rewarding radio program. And got another nice text the other day from Blizzard hero Jay Withy. And as I mentioned yesterday, I did know about this earlier in the week, but you know, if I find out something that isn't public knowledge and people want to keep it from public knowledge, I respect that. I always have. I always will. But the retirement of Cheektowaga Police Chief Brian Gould was a big story in Cheektowaga this week. I know Brian. I've known Brian for many years, even before he was the chief of police. But, you know, he's always been great to this radio station. He's been great in dealing with the public. And it was actually Chief Gould who brought the Jay Withy story to my attention way back when in December, early January of this year and late December of last year. But he has had a tremendous career in law enforcement. The chief before him was Dave Zack. I know Dave. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's kind of weird. thinking about when you're in, and this is one of the things that I happen to love about working in Buffalo, is the fact that if you're in the same area long enough, you basically get to know people, and you basically get to have sources of information and resources for information to whom you can turn. And it's nice, quite frankly, to be trusted by people with certain information. And I really appreciate that. I'm always going to appreciate that. And as I said earlier, people sometimes will say, gee, you know, did you ever think about being national? Of course I've thought about it. But look, at this point in my life, it is not going to happen. And I'm totally okay with that. If I end my career at WBEN, I will be the happiest guy in the world. And no, I do not anticipate retiring at 62, and I'm probably not going to retire at 65, probably looking at around 67, but who knows? I might hang out longer than that, as long as I've got it in me. Got what in you? Now, as long as I have the resources in me, I'm going to continue to do this because, quite frankly, I know this sounds corny, but I said corny with a C, but I miss you guys when I am not on. Like, even on the weekends, I miss you guys. And that's probably not very healthy, but it is the way it is. But we have many things coming up that I want to get into. In fact, there's one topic that I've had on my mind. Tim Wenger and I have discussed this off the air, but I want to discuss it with you on the air today, and just see where your head happens to be on it on News Radio 930 WBEN. We have the story at WBEN.com, but I'm going to read from the story right now just so we're all on the same page before you start calling in. And before I start reading the story, the phone number on WBEN is 803-0930. That's 803-0930. The cell number is *930. And the toll-free number is 1-800-616-WBEN. But I always like to point out, when's the last time you paid for a toll telephone call, a long-distance call? I don't even remember those days. But it used to be, they talk about things that your kids don't get that you were around for, like the dial telephones as opposed to the push buttons. A lot of the younger people out there, like Tanner, a young man in his 20s. Tanner, in your lifetime, my young friend, did you ever understand, did you ever realize that a long time ago, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and we had to walk to school with barbed wire shoes uphill in both directions, did you know that we actually used to have to pay for long distance phone calls?
Yes, I did know that.
Did you personally ever pay for a long distance call?
Oh, no. I think the closest thing would be just like the roaming cost on your cell phone. But yes, outside of that, no.
Well, it's like when you go to sometimes you go to Angola, or sometimes you go to Youngstown or Olcott. You ever get those nice international roaming charges because somehow you're pinging off the towers in Canada? You ever have that happen?
I don't believe so, but that's good to know in case that situation ever does come up.
Well, you need to get out more, Tanner. You need to start coming out with us and become a full-blown degenerate, except your hours don't exactly mesh with being a full-grown degenerate. So I'm happy that I'm preserving your integrity in some respects, but I believe you're missing out in other respects. So let's talk about this whole right on red thing. Dateline Chicago, Associated Press. Sophie Langerman was on her way to a bicycle safety rally in the Lakeview neighborhood of Chicago back in June. A car turning right rolled through the red light and slammed into her bike, which she was walking off the curb and into the crosswalk. Now, the car was moving slowly enough that this lady escaped serious injury, but the bicycle required extensive repairs. And to this lady, it is another argument for ending a practice that almost all U.S. cities have embraced for decades: the legal prerogative for a driver to turn right after stopping at a red light. there has been, and this surprises me, frankly, but there has been a dramatic rise in accidents involving the killing or injuring of pedestrians and bicyclists, and that has led to a myriad of policy and infrastructure changes, but there's a move in some places to ban right on red, and that has drawn some very intense sentiments on both sides. Now, the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the city council last year approved a right on red ban that takes effect in a couple of years. The new mayor of Chicago has a transition plan, and it is calling for a restriction of right turns on red. But the administration in Chicago has not provided specifics. The college town of Ann Arbor, Michigan, now prohibits right turns at red lights downtown. In San Francisco, leaders recently voted to urge their transportation agency to ban right on red across the city, and other major cities like L.A., Seattle, and Denver have looked into the bans as well. Drivers should not have the option to decide for themselves when they think it is safe, said the woman, 26 years old, who was injured in the collision with which we led off the story. People are busy. People are distracted. However, Jay Bieber, who is with the National Motorists Association, an advocacy organization for drivers, calls it a fallacy to assume that such blanket bans would make streets safer. He cited an upcoming study by his association that analyzed California crash data from 2011 to 2019 and found that drivers turning right on red accounted for only about one pedestrian death and less than one bicyclist death statewide every 2 years. And he says, and this is an interesting take because part of me agrees with this, what's really behind this movement is part of the agenda to make driving as miserable and as difficult as possible so people don't drive so much. Safety advocates, however, they say, wait a minute, official crash reports are often mislabeled, and that undercounts the dangers. So before I get into the rest of this rather lengthy article, let me ask you a question. As far as right on red is concerned, do you believe that your option as a driver, unless marked otherwise, to turn right on red, is that basically something that you support or do you not support it? And one of the things that I think is somewhat problematical is, okay, I understand, and I think you understand, that there are a lot of motorists who are very distracted. We have more gizmos and gadgets and toys in our car than ever before, between the big screens and the satellite radio and the AM, the FM, the Bluetooth, and then making sure that everything is totally synced up, blah, blah, blah. So you have a lot of distractions as a driver of motor vehicles, but pedestrians, I've noticed, also have become increasingly distracted. I don't think that the distraction situation is limited to people who drive cars or motor vehicles. I think it is an epidemic in America, and I don't think either side, if you will, is to blame exclusively and excluding the other possibilities. How many times have you seen somebody crossing the street and they are utterly oblivious to the fact that they are jaywalking? They're utterly oblivious to the fact that it is not safe to cross when they are crossing. Now, keep in mind, if there is a pedestrian and there is a crosswalk, you're going to lose that argument every time, okay? Because once the pedestrian is in the crosswalk, that pedestrian becomes basically like kryptonite. Okay, you're going to get a very hard time should you hit a pedestrian who happens to be in a crosswalk. And you have to use extra, extra, extra sense when you are in a crosswalk situation. But the right on red, does it in fact save you time? Is the saving in time worth what may be an increased risk to pedestrians as well as people on bicycles. And we've certainly talked about cars and bikes before, and I always, doing these kinds of programs, I always point out the importance of safety for everybody. And look, I'm not one of these people who thinks that you should be walking around in a plastic bubble your entire life, because you simply cannot eliminate all dangers from everyday life, as much as we would like to believe it's possible. It simply isn't, because people are people, and sometimes people do, well, sometimes people do some pretty silly things. The phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And let me ask you this. Do you believe there really is a movement to make driving as difficult and as hassled as possible because of perhaps an environmental agenda? And locally, I always thought, and again, I say this with respect, I don't say this with hostility or anger, but the Skajakwita, the 198, there was one fatality which resulted in the speed limit being drastically reduced on the 198, and that particular accident had nothing to do with speed. That accident had to do with somebody apparently with narcolepsy who fell asleep behind the wheel. And the rest, unfortunately, is tragic history. But my understanding is that the family was kind of connected, and they basically used their connections to assist in getting Andrew Cuomo, who was governor back then, to make sure that the speed limit on the 198 was considerably reduced. Should we do away with right on red? Are there ways to make right on red safer? Now, in school zones, and we all know the areas with which we are most familiar, it's kind of saying the same thing twice, but in different words. But on Sheridan Drive at Mill Street, around where I live, you can't make a right-hand turn from Sheridan onto Mill during certain hours of the school day. And that doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me because I can see an absolute argument to be made in favor of safety. And it's not that important ever for me to make a right-hand turn at the possible expense of the safety of children. Because, again, if you listen to this show enough, look, I happen to be very fond of children. They are our future, and they to be protected, and children, like the rest of us, seem to be growing increasingly less conscious of paying attention. And sometimes, have you ever driven by a seven-year-old on a bike and the seven-year-old is on a cell phone on the bicycle? Ooh. Don't know that I would have been any different as a seven-year-old. I'm just saying that that kind of gets my goat just a little bit. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly with you, loves, on a Friday. Your call's coming right up. This is a great time to call. We'll stack up the calls and get right to them following Tom Puckett and the news at 2:30 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner Saunders behind the glass making the magic happen. Bowerly, so right on red, if we did away with right on red, would it make you safer as a pedestrian, as a cyclist, or would it simply impede the flow of traffic? Now, I happen to enjoy right on red, especially late at night when there's not another car on the road and there are very, very few pedestrians. But I do understand certain areas where you cannot make a right on red. Some of them because there are visual obstructions. I have no problem with that. And some because they're near school zones. And I also have no problem with that because the safer we can make our children, the better off I think we will all be. At the same time, I also think there needs to be some emphasis placed on the pedestrians out there that they also need to be less buried in their cell phones and their distractions, just as motorists need to be. I think this might actually be an idea or a situation where we might actually come to a compromise where everybody says, you know what, that makes sense. How about you? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And Tanner, if you would punch up line one, I will log off at my convenience and get this thing humming along again. Here is Steve of Grand Island. Steve, welcome to the show, my love. What is on your mind?
Situation where you're waiting to make a right on red and you look up the cross traffic. You see no cross traffic, and then all of a sudden, coming up, the traffic coming opposed to you, they've got a green arrow. And all of a sudden, they start moving after you feel it's safe to make the right on red, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I think in a situation like that, there should be no right on red.
Walk me through that one more time. I'm not sure that I totally grasp what you were trying to get to. I'm sure
okay.
I'm sure it's a great point. I'm a little slow sometimes, and I need some help better understanding it.
Okay. Let's say you're on Delaware, okay? Delaware and Sheridan, which happens to be a frequent route for me. And I want to make the right on red from Delaware to Sheridan. And then the people who are coming opposed to me, the opposite direction from me, they've got a green arrow.
Right.
So as soon as you start making your right on red, their green arrow clicks in, and they start coming at you.
Right.
Okay. So I think in a situation like that where you have a lot of traffic, I think there should be no right on red.
What if, Steve, and this is just a what if, and I know the intersection of which you speak, and I think we all have intersections where the same situation plays itself out. On my drive home from work, there are a couple of situations like that. But what if we made it no right on red, but only during certain hours? And, for example, why should it even be an issue at 3 in the morning? And I'm the kind of a guy that I believe a lot of red lights could actually be done away with after, say, midnight in favor of flashing yellow lights. In other words, caution, not a complete stop. But I don't want to get too far off the subject. Would you be okay with that if we said, hey, during certain high traffic volume hours, like 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., 4 p.m. until 8 p.m., no right on red. Would that make you feel any better?
Exactly, I would. And I was thinking that was going to be my next proposal. Because there are some places I noticed now where they will have a separate screen up there right next to the red light, and it will say no right on red at certain times, because I noticed
yes.
that during the day.
Yes.
Now, that makes sense to me. Your idea is right on there.
Well, I mean, if I think, look, we can all agree that we want people to be as safe as possible, and we want to minimize to the greatest extent possible the number of fatalities and the number of serious injury automobile accidents. And we all agree on that. And what you are saying, should there be just, I'm just bouncing some ideas off of you. Should we weigh certain factors into it? Not just the time, but also the traffic flow and volume through a given intersection. As you pointed out, Delaware and Sheridan is a very busy intersection, and I'm sure that people all over Western New York have their least favorite intersections with which they have to interface every day.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That should be taken into consideration. In other words, each intersection should be looked at and analyzed individually like that.
Well, I know we have people listening who are members of the DOT, so maybe they'll be kind enough to send me a text because they've got my private number during the show today to offer their ideas. And, of course, I shall not name these individuals. Have you ever had a close call because of somebody with the green arrow, especially if you know that particular intersection has the green arrow for the people coming at you as you're trying to make the right on red? Don't you find yourself being a little extra cautious there?
Oh, absolutely. Again, at Delaware and Sheridan, I was making the left. I've got the green arrow.
Right.
And as I'm making the left, the traffic coming opposite me, the guy starts making a right turn on red.
Right.
And it got close. It got close. Thank God, you know, Delaware is a two-lane road, and I was able to stay in the left lane, and he saw me coming, and he did put his brakes on. But if I may, for maybe another show, if you don't mind, these kids that I got these electric bikes now, these electric motorized bikes, I almost killed a guy the other day, because a kid I was at, and now this was in the city of Buffalo, I forgot exactly where it was now, but I'm at the light, ready to go straight ahead, waiting for the light to change, and this kid on his electric bike comes up the yellow line on my left and proceeds to make a right turn in front of me just before the light turned green for me to go straight. I mean, I came within, I would say, a second of killing this kid. And some of those bikes, you don't hear them, okay? They're very quiet. The only thing that saved us was the fact that the kid had a bike that made a lot of noise. And, you know, I realized what was happening, and I just sat there while he proceeded through the red light making a right turn in front of me.
By the way, that is an interesting show, but tell me that there was no road rage, there was no flipping of the bird in either of those situations.
I didn't have time to do it. With the kid on the bike, he just went so fast in front of me. He was up going up the street. He was probably 25, 50 feet up the other road before I would have had to thought about it. I usually don't do that, but
frankly, road rage is it's just such a stupid thing to get involved in. And I had a situation this week where it could have been last week, but I did something really stupid, and it was totally my fault. I was paying attention. I just made a stupid driving move. It happens.
Right.
And I did pull up next to the guy. I waved, and I said, bro, I am so sorry. That's on me. And it's funny because sometimes people can go from angry to, okay, this guy's all right, in about 5 seconds. Just if you just hold the hands open like, hey, my bad, I screwed up.
Well, I had a similar situation like that where I was tempted, but this gal, she was on my right, switched, no turn signal, went into my lane, which was to the left of her.
Oy.
And really, really quickly, okay? And when we met up at the next intersection, and I was now on the right side of her because she was making a left, I was making a right, and I just kind of gave her a look, okay? Just gave her a look.
Yeah.
And her passenger reached out through the window and says, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And, I mean, that was, they were upset because they knew they did something wrong. But anyways, there's a lot of crazy drivers out there. You know that.
But you know what? There are things in this life worth being upset over and things that you just got to accept. But I have found, even on the road, that if you at least attempt to apologize, usually it works out well. I mean, there have been maybe a couple of times where somebody has made an untoward comment. People come in all shapes and sizes and all temperaments, and I'm glad that you didn't get into an accident. We'll see what other people have to say about your idea of a time specification on right on red, and also a traffic volume specification on right on red to make right on red safer. Because frankly, right on red to me is a great convenience. And you know, the other thing about right on red, I don't know if I'm sure you've experienced this, Steve, but have you ever had the people? You're in the right-hand lane. You know you're going to make a right-hand turn at the light coming up, but somebody decides they have to get in front of you. They get in front of you, blocking your access to making the right on red, and they're going straight. And there was no reason for them to get in front of you. All they were was obstructing your progress. And again, not worth having a heart attack over, not worth freaking out over, but sometimes I wonder why people do that.
But, well, who knows why? I don't know. But, again, let me just emphasize, I have seen that special screen up near the signal itself.
Yeah.
And it only goes on at certain times, no right on red.
And, interesting.
And you look for that, it'll look just like a black screen to the right of the signal itself. So, the DOT must be thinking about this.
I'll keep my eyes open for that. I mean, the intersection I mentioned before, Sheridan and Mill, there is a sign there, actually, I think at all of the points of the intersection, which does, it's not a screen, it's just an ordinary sign, no right on red during school hours. And to me, that, again, it always made sense. You're right near a school, and the last thing anybody ever wants to do is hurt a child or, God forbid, kill a child. It's just, ugh.
Look for that black screen, you know, to the right of the signal, because frequently it's just black when I go through there. But sometimes, I guess during rush hour or whatever, I never really paid that much attention when it actually works. But there's times I've gone through there, and it will say, no right on red.
Well, Steve, I'm going to move on to some other folks. I am grateful for your call, and have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, and Tanner will kill line number one, and we will now go to line number two. I've just got a little computer thing I got to take care of. It's no big deal. Don't have to get the engineers involved in it. Oh, Mark, you're breathing heavily, and I find myself intrigued. Mark in Angola, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, that's good to hear, Tom. So this has a lot to do. Well, a little bit to do with the previous call. I install those signs at the traffic signals. And how this sign works is if a pedestrian activates the button to cross,
right.
Then the sign lights up and it says no turn on red. That's how they work. And I think that this is a situation that is kind of pertinent to what you're talking about, because these could actually be actuated during certain time frames of the day where you would not have to hit the button, but that sign would illuminate itself at a certain time of the day, seeing let out school hours or school coming in hours. That was all.
But let me just follow up on this. I presume that you work for a highway department or some kind of Department of Transportation related field. Is that correct?
Well, I work in the outside electrical construction industry for a contractor.
Oh, okay.
On highways.
So, just a question for you: under what circumstances do you get called in to put up one of those pedestrian activated devices? Do a certain number of complaints have to come in? Accidents? What's the story?
Well, as of complaints coming in and new installations on old intersections, we haven't done any of that. And we are a pretty large company, pretty well known. I won't say it, but
I think I know which one it is, but I'm not going to say it either. Let's just say that I know your boss.
Okay. I got a lot of them.
Okay.
But it's generally in new construction. Within the last 5 to 7 years, we've been installing these things in different areas. If somebody who listens to your show, as I do, would like to see how they work, Borden and French, I wouldn't think that that's a problem saying that. We've recently installed some there within the last couple of years. The first ones in the area, I think, to go up were Walden and Harlem.
Right.
So if for some odd reason, you know, some of the people that are interested in your show want to see how these work, well, park in a safe place, go hit a push button and stare at it. And you'll see how it works.
I often press buttons and stare at them. It's called logging onto my computer every day. But hey, one quick question I wanted to ask you: what do you think? And this came up on David Bellavia's show, I think, the other day. What do you think of those hawk lights?
I hate them.
Really? No. I'm curious. How come?
They're hard to install. I've never used one as a pedestrian, so therefore, in certain situations like the one in Williamsville, that's probably a good idea, you know, because they're really illuminated.
Oh, if, say
if,
that again.
If you drive through one of them, you got an issue.
Yes, definitely a vision test would be in order. But, you know, the one thing that bothers me, and I want to hear what other people have to say about the hawk lights, it drives me just a little bit nuts. But when there is a hawk light available, and somebody, a pedestrian, is maybe 50 feet from the hawk light, and they decide to jaywalk instead during an hour of busy traffic, I can't figure out the mentality. I can't.
I hear you. Yeah, there's one on Sheridan Drive. It's got to be a real pain in the butt for drivers, the transportation public. But how do you cross Sheridan Drive without something like that?
Well, is that pedestrian bridge still up on Sheridan? It's like by the police station, by the junior high school. Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah,
I haven't
driven by there in quite some time. But, you know, and the reason I bring that up is, again, if you listen to the show, I certainly appreciate that. But one of the tragedies that I've seen looming for many, many years is around UB, the Amherst campus, specifically Millersport and Flint, and then Maple and Flint, because those poor UB students take their lives in their hands at least twice a day trying to cross some very busy intersections. And I have a very hard time believing that it wouldn't be a good idea, and it should be relatively economical to do it, to put in pedestrian walkways over a road like that. Because, and also Flint, too, there's no sidewalks. Or very limited sidewalks on Flint. And, you know, I feel just horrible for these students who have to do that walk. Walking across UB's campus in a raging windstorm winter day is unpleasant enough. And I think we really need some pedestrian walkways in certain areas of Western New York. And those would be my first two choices.
I totally agree with you there, Tom. I mean, then you eliminate driver error. And I work in traffic, right, and driver error is terrible, especially nowadays. But kind of like the walkway across the 990. It's lit, it's caged, so it's, you know, it's safe, you know, similar to what you're talking about. I totally agree. And not to mention, I install crosswalks for a living, or that's part of my living.
Right.
I don't want to lose that part, but
no.
I'm more concerned about the public. I'm ready to retire.
Well, don't do it yet, because we need as many of you traffic safety people out there as we possibly can have. I'm grateful for the call, sir, and I'm going to continue this topic into the next hour. Thank you kindly, and have a good weekend, my love.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's see. I do want to pass on get well wishes to my friend Nick Orticelli, who is discovering what back pain is all about, and oh, he's got now he's in a great deal of distress. I'm only mentioning that because he had a Facebook post today to that effect. He's been to the chiropractor, and if you've, you know, someday that actually would be a great topic. What body part is the most painful when it goes out on you? And I think that if you have a bad back, oh my goodness. And but then again, you could also have a knee that needs replacing or a hip that needs replacing. I guess it's whatever is hurting you at the specific time of pain is what you think of the most. But oh, back pain, you, if you've never had back pain, consider yourself blessed and lucky, because it is literally a pain in the butt and above the butt as well. But anyway, get well soon. Nick Orticelli, I'm sure your back pain will be all better by next week. And by the way, Nick, you know, I am a trained massage therapist, but that might be just a little weird even for us. But I'm just saying, it's 2:57 at News Radio 930. Oh, I'm going to hear about that. 2:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly on a Friday. So what do we do? Do we do away with Right on Red, or do we do it smarter? A lot of discussion about this across the country. Been dying to do this topic, and today is the day on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't go anywhere.